last Sunday. I'll say that.
Because I don't know if you exactly.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I think they're setting up in there, so if you need to drop anything off.
Good morning, friends. Good to be with you all. Today's forum is all about resurrection and creative practice and how those two things can weave together in our own lives and how we might see them playing out in the world and in the church. But first, let's begin with prayer. God be with you. Let us pray. O God, who by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light, grant that we who have been raised with him may abide in his presence and rejoice in the hope of eternal glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be dominion and praise forever and ever. Amen. For anyone who's curious, that's the collect for the Tuesday of Easter week. So we don't hear it on a Sunday, but in the good old Book of Common Prayer. There are three primary things that I want to talk about today. First is where we can find the resurrection in art. The resurrection has long inspired artists, as has much of our Christian story. So we'll look at a couple of pieces together. Then I want to talk about art as a means of resurrection. Might we think of art as a metaphor for resurrection and perhaps see it a little differently in that way? And then also to think about creative practice, our own creative practice, as a practice of resurrection. So might creativity be something that we can consider both as a spiritual practice and something that helps us to live into God's resurrection power? So first, I have some of the famous paintings of the resurrection. This is by Karl Bloch. This is a really white Jesus, first of all. But you'll see on one side we have the burial and then the resurrection on the other. We see lots of light coming from Jesus. We have the good old Easter lilies, the angels on either side. So we're really seeing the way that the darkness of the tomb turns into the light of the resurrection. This one is a Caravaggio. There are several paintings that are of the supper at Emmaus. So you'll probably remember this is when the disciples are walking with Jesus and they don't recognize him until they sit down for the meal together and Jesus breaks bread among them and all of a sudden it is made clear to them that they have been walking with their teacher and their friend this whole time. So this is one depiction of that moment. And there are people who have analyzed every little detail of it. One that I saw recently was talking about this shadow being like the fish, the symbol of the fish used in early Christianity. So there's all sorts of details we could get into with this one. This one is Raphael. You'll notice that this is a more modern tomb. So In scripture, we learn that Jesus is buried in what is sort of a cave, a rock-hewn tomb. But here we have something that looks more modern. We might see this in a cemetery today. You'll notice in the background that we have the women who came to the tomb. We have angels. Somehow the Christian flag made it there in time. The guards at the tomb entirely shocked by all that is happening. So again, one that has a lot of layers here. And then I have a couple that you may or may not have seen. This is Andre Kamba Luesa, a Congolese artist, and his depiction of the resurrection. What I really love about this is the joyous crowds that have all gathered together in excitement of this moment. So I'm not sure if this is right at the moment of the resurrection or once folks have had time to hear the news, but I just love the crowds that have gathered. This one is Jyoti Sahi, an Indian artist. And this one is a little more abstract, of course, but there's a few things that I notice, and maybe you'll notice some other things. We have the central figure of Christ with the head right at the top. Then I'm also seeing a tree in the middle. Then at the top, going across, I see what kind of looks like Jesus stretched out on the cross. So there's some different layers happening in this one. And of course, I love that it's very colorful as well. So lots of artists who are really inspired by the resurrection. There are many, many more that we could take a look at, but that's just a brief selection. So let's talk about art as resurrection itself. In a highly manufactured world, I wonder if art itself is a sort of resurrection. This is something that I spend a lot of time thinking about because creativity is part of the way that I connect with God. So these are the things that I ponder in my free time. But a few ways that I can see art as a means of resurrection. Art is bringing new life into the world. It's offering a new spirit, putting that out into the world, even if you're not sharing your artwork with someone. There's something about the creative act that I think allows us to join with God in a means of co-creation and of resurrection. Creation is always in this cycle. So I think any sort of creation is also a part of the resurrection. So art is a means of new life. Art is also a way to maintain or renew a memory or an image. So we might think of that as a kind of resurrection. There are, of course, plenty of artists who will paint from a still life that is right in front of them. But there are also plenty who will have a memory that strikes them and informs the way that an artwork flows out. Art sparks new conversation and new thought. And the same piece of art over the course of history might spark really different conversations. And that to me seems like a possibility of resurrection as well, that in each new era, we might interpret artwork differently. I also see a lot these days art as a return to old practices. There are many old art forms that are being sort of resurrected, that people are returning to, again, in this highly manufactured world where we can go on Amazon and order anything that we want. What does it mean to pause and create something instead, to look around for the materials that already exist in our world or in our homes, and create instead of only engaging with manufactured goods? So I'll say a little bit more about each of these things. One thing that came to my mind in pondering this is the ways that we create color. So Of course, not all paint is coming from natural sources, but if we're thinking about natural paint, often watercolor or a tempera paint, it's coming from the earth. And all of these things have to be dead and have to dry out before they can be ground up and turned into a pigment. So that's a cycle of resurrection, I think. Anyone who's cooked with turmeric knows it's a really great dye. I've ruined many a shirt with turmeric. Some of these other foods, purple corn, beets, again, you'll end up with a murder scene in your kitchen, dyeing your towels bright pink. It's a great dye, it's a great color. So all of these different things that in their death can become a new sort of creation. And then I also have this sort of color wheel of natural pigments, including some that the pigment they create is not the pigment that we see in their original form. So I always love the fact that red cabbage, just as an example, creates a more teal kind of dye. We see it as this purple cabbage, but then when it is used, boiled down, and turned into a dye, it creates a completely different color. So I think it's fun to play with the ways that nature offers us these colors to work from. Creating music, I think, is another form of resurrection. This is a picture from Carnegie Hall this week where I got to see Angela perform with her choir, which was very cool. It's tiny, but she's over here. Her little tiny face. I think music is a way that we can experience resurrection. We, of course, live in a world where there are recordings of so many pieces of music, but there's nothing like being in a space where music is being created live. And there are pieces that are classics in the music world that each choir recreates them and brings a little of their own skill and perspective to it, but it's a resurrection of that art that exists on paper until someone decides to sing it. So I think music is a way that we can easily see resurrection happening. There's nothing like being in the room where it happens, as they say. Then, as I mentioned, there's the resurrection that comes from engaging old traditions. I'm a very novice quilter. I'm hesitant to even call myself a quilter. There's also many people who are engaging with embroidery and cross stitch. Ceramics classes are highly popular. These are things that in our world we don't need to do. We don't need to make our own clothes unless we want to. We don't need to make a quilt unless we want to. We don't need to make our own ceramic plates unless we want to. All of these things are available to us very easily these days. And yet, many people are returning to making these things by hand. And I think that is a kind of resurrection, bringing back these art forms. There's so many people in my generation who have what we call grandma hobbies, that it's the things that our ancestors did that are no longer required of us, and yet there is something that is deeply grounding in those practices, I think deeply spiritual in those practices. So I think there's a sort of resurrection that is happening on a meta level when we think about art. I'm curious if there's other ways that you have seen resurrection in art, or ways that art itself might be a kind of resurrection. Yeah, if you'd come to the mic, that would be helpful for the room and those online.
I was thinking of another way about, like, weaving, for instance. Mm-hmm. Weaving is another way you can resurrect something.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of weaving is done with natural materials, too. So, like the pigments that I was naming, if you want to make a woven garment or a tapestry, you're using a plant that has died and been processed and turned into something else. So I absolutely think we can see the resurrection in action there.
I was thinking that there's a role for the appreciator and art, mm-hmm. because we think about in acting, the interaction, actors often say that the play takes on a different life.
That's
and,
right.
And as someone who doesn't think of myself as talented, but to be an appreciator, to be present, or to lend our support to the arts is a part. The interactive aspect of art is going back to being off our screens and being together.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yes.
I was also thinking that the novel and the role of the storyteller is resurrecting the story of mm-hmm. what's going on, and that also, as you were saying, over years and centuries takes on new meanings.
That's right. So the role of the novel and the storyteller and how stories also take on new meanings over time. What pops into my mind is some of the old fairy tales that have been told and retold many times, but I think a traditional novel has that same effect.
First of all, I'm excited to see you.
It's good to see you. Glad to have you back.
Thank you. And, you know, as an actor, you know, we create these characters and we pull it in from our own lives and experiences. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what might be happening, we try to identify with the character of, like, what are they going through? What are they feeling? And sometimes after shows, you mourn.
Yeah.
The death of the character, because you've become so attached to this person, because you now understand life a little bit more. And so as an actor, that's another death and resurrection,
yeah.
because you're processing emotions and really getting into the mind of that other human being.
Yeah. Yeah, and another art form that exists on paper until people come together and say, hey, let's do that live. A script is one thing. You can read a script if you want, but it's an entirely different thing to experience the show that these actors are bringing to life. And you do form an attachment to the characters, I think, as a viewer and as the actor. Yeah.
I love this idea of art being a resurrection, and one of the things I've done for a long time is collect sea glass.
Mm-hmm.
And I am during the pandemic, I started using my sea glass to create art and making art pieces. And there's this whole process of collecting what was used to be, you know, a beer bottle or a wine bottle or a water bottle, and they're all broken.
Mm-hmm.
And then having been washed around in the ocean for decades,
yeah.
they've become smooth. And then to create something with those pieces, like one of my favorite images is a heart made with all these broken pieces of bottle,
right.
a sea glass. And there is something sort of spiritual, and I never thought of myself as creative at all. Like I stumbled across this, and so yeah, that kind of resurrection and repurposing, and finding new ways
mm-hmm.
to find new life in something that's
yeah.
broken.
I love that. Yeah, I love the element of brokenness that's happening with the sea glass too. Good morning.
Skipping. Good morning, hi, Channel. Skipping Bible study to be here for your last time. Because, we're going to miss you so much, even for this time. But I was thinking about renovating old houses.
Ah, yeah.
It's a real labor of love, and you have to make a lot of artistic decisions as well as practical decisions and mixing old and new,
mm-hmm.
but creating, but it, you know, and it's just a wonderful feeling of connection to the space too. Mm-hmm. And gardening.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially trying to include natives for the, mm-hmm. like I'm seeing in our own yard a lot of birds coming back planting native alternative grasses rather than, you know, grass and letting native trees take root. Mm-hmm. We don't have any sun left, but watching the garden come alive, I feel very connected to the Holy Spirit through that.
Absolutely.
And may I say one more?
Absolutely. Yeah, let's go ahead.
I was thinking of dancing.
Oh.
Especially in non-Western cultures, how they use dance for all sorts of different ceremonies, for rain, for initiation into adulthood, mm-hmm. But anyway, that's it.
Yeah, those are three great examples. Talking about old houses makes me think of the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel, one of my favorite passages of scripture, that there are some houses that appear to be a valley of dry bones, and yet with the right person, they can turn back into something just incredibly magical. Yeah, dance, absolutely, in the many ways that dance is used in culture. For those who also enjoy the resurrection that is present in gardening, there was a forum during the beginning of the Easter season that was all about resurrection and native plants. And I learned a lot about our native plants and the ways that we can see resurrection in each individual plant, but also how engaging with natives helps to resurrect the general environment. So there's lots of layers to that, but if that's something that's of curiosity for folks, I'd encourage you to go back and find that forum on YouTube. I want to speak about a couple of ways that I practice resurrection in creative practice or ways that we might do it together. And then I'm sure you'll have some of your own ideas about this too. You already have so many beautiful ideas about resurrection and art. So I love to Bible journal and to collage, which is to say I love to glue trash together. So this is the Isaiah passage of the angel taking the coal and touching it to Isaiah's lips. And this is a shopping bag that I cut up. And the orange ribbon was the handle of the shopping bag. And then I have quite the ribbon collection. So the yellow ribbons are actually came from our wedding. So putting these pieces together of effectively trash to help myself engage more fully with this passage of scripture. Another one, this is, you might recognize, is a bulletin from St. Columba's, Coffee Stain and All. This was a song that our children's choir and gallery choir sung, O Ye Badgers and Hedgehogs, Bless the Lord, that I was just so tickled by when they sang it. I often tear pieces out of our bulletins, and this one just felt like it needed to go with the psalm that that we sung that day. So again, a coffee-stained bulletin, effectively trash, something that we might normally recycle, but using it as a way to engage in creative practice and then sort through my sticker collection to see what things I could find to go with it. There are other ways that people use found materials to create art, as Joy was talking about with the sea glass. One man's trash is another man's art supply. So there's so many ways that we can engage in that practice of recycling and resurrection. You never know what you'll find that might inspire you. The practice of upcycling is really common these days. So if that's not a familiar term, this is people taking old garments or housewares and giving them a new life. So that might be taking garments that have lots of holes in them and combining them into something that is usable, or taking something that has kind of lost its spark, lost its life, and in this example, painting it to make something new, rather than always buying something new, maybe looking through what you already own or going to the thrift store and finding something that you could offer some new life. And then as Jan was noting, when we interact with art, I think there's a practice of resurrection that is happening there. New thoughts are created, new conversations come up. We have an art and spirituality group here at St. Columba's that goes to museums together, among other activities. And having those conversations together around a piece of art, I think, is a way that we can practice in resurrection as well. Something that we can do individually or as a collective, to engage with resurrection. I'm curious what other creative practices allow you to engage with resurrection or with co-creation?
Teaching.
Teaching? Yeah. Cooking.
Drawing.
Journaling, yes, journaling. Are there ways that you might be curious about dabbling in creative practice? Wonderful. Charlotte's going to an icon painting workshop. Yeah. I love icon writing in general as a practice, but that is one of the forms of art that invites us to engage with natural pigment. A traditional icon is made using egg tempera, so you use egg and natural pigments to create all of the paint that you use for an icon, and layer them all to create the colors that you need for an icon. So there's a lot of resurrection that's happening in the way that it's created, in taking an ancient image and bringing new life to it. So I'm excited for you. I think that'll be great. What do you have, Bob?
I'm a big fan of the Lewis Gates Jr. This program, and to me, that's a form of resurrection in that he allows people to go into their past and recognize and glorify and understand their past.
Yeah.
Their past. And without that, they wouldn't know that. And it inspired me to want to know more.
Yeah.
But it's a way of resurrecting the past into your life.
Mm-hmm. You said Henry Louis Gage?
Henry Louis Gage Jr.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Clearly, I've missed out on this. Yeah. Yeah, people digging into personal history and bringing that to light. Yeah. Ancestry is, I think, a practice of resurrection. Yeah.
Puppetry. Having puppets be resurrected and using them as a way of teaching the scripture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, having puppets be resurrected and used as a way to teach scripture. I love that. I love that. And St. Columba's has such a tradition of using art and story as a way of helping us to understand the way that God is working.
I'm I know someone already mentioned story, and you were just talking about story, and so I'll put in a plug for sort of the Godly Play program with our children, and I've been participating in that. And we hear the scriptures read every Sunday, but there is something about sort of becoming a storyteller as opposed to just presenting the scripture, and so that opportunity to do that with the children, I really, and Angela's done it as well. So if you are interested in that, I would commend that to you as a way to resurrect that art form that then becomes a living story that the children really do take in. And it's quite remarkable how you see them interact with the stories. So
yeah,
it's a real life, real-time resurrection.
That's great. Yeah, Godly Play. More dramatic readings, says the actor in the back.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely,
yeah,
Josh.
And that dramatic storytelling, maybe this is a calling for you.
Just think different voices or just playing it out, like just bringing it to life.
Yeah.
Just change.
Yeah. Yeah, when we can.
Someone resonates.
Yeah. Bringing a text to life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, many ways that I think we can bring scripture to life and resurrect those stories, bring new life to them. And a reminder that all of this started as an oral tradition. It took a long time for our stories to be written down. So the sort of the acting and the storytelling of it all, I think that's kind of a resurrection of an old way of doing things too. So there are, again, layers of resurrection. Is there anyone who's skeptical about creative practice being a spiritual practice or being a means of resurrection? It's okay if you are. That's a genuine question. I know for some of us that's a new thought. Or a challenging thought.
I have so much to say on this topic. I can't sit back that quiet. There's a song, it's called Spark of Creation, and it's Eve. And she's talking about how there's this spark inside of her and that she's a keeper of that flame and that our purpose is to go out and create until we find that thing that we create that fully celebrates the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
That God created us to create for His beauty and His pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, to me, you know, this is very deeply in my spiritual practice, is the creativity aspect of it. So if you've never listened to Spark of Creation, listen to it. It's a good musical song.
That's great. Who in the room would never call themselves a creative? Just by raise of hands. We've got a couple people. Yeah, a few people. One of the hands that's raised is of a singer, which so that's interesting.
Yes, but I'm married to you, and you are the most creative.
Different ways.
I know.
Ways.
One piece that I haven't heard yet that I've been mulling over is the Japanese practice of kintsugi,
mm-hmm.
where when something breaks, particularly like ceramics or pottery, there is a process of using gold to not eliminate the cracks and the brokenness, but to highlight, not eliminate, but illuminate the cracks. And then it becomes this whole new resurrected life and can go on to do something, to have a new life as a vessel or a piece of art. Part two thought, thinking about physics, and I don't know what branch of science, because I'm not a scientist, but the concept that no matter is ever eliminated, that everything is always regenerating. So we've come from stardust, we are in these bodies, we will go into the ground and become dust again and get consumed. And like that life cycle of nothing is ever wasted. that is always being regenerated into another form of life, and all the energy is just continuing in perpetuity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Within the context of this discussion, it seems to me that we might even resurrect our own definition of the very profound term resurrection.
Hmm.
We've had a lot of subject matter in records, forums, and sermons and the like on the whole word resurrection, which is a very complex and multifaceted and important term.
Yeah.
And to me, a working definition sort of within the context of this Rector's Forum would be sort of renewal, or if you will, resurrection of our own feeling of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But I think there are probably many different ways that we could define the term resurrection and how it applies to all of our belief and practice.
That's right. And I think sometimes resurrection is a word that we say, myself included, in the context of this conversation, without fully defining what we're talking about.
What resurrection really means.
Yeah.
And how it has many meanings, maybe.
That's right. It's so in the water that we sometimes forget to define our terms. But I like what you said about this being a renewal, a new recognition of new life. Yeah.
And your whole feeling of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes. The Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Yeah, just in the songwriting context, I've heard many interviews with very accomplished songwriters, and they all describe it as they're just channeling some energy.
Mm-hmm.
So in follow-up to the Song of Creation and that spark, Keeper of the Flame, many times the musicians just say they're playing for a couple hours, and then all of a sudden something comes. And they're not really creating it, they're just channeling an energy. So
yeah.
I think that's consistent with the co-creation and the resurrection.
Yeah, yeah, channeling energy as a way of co-creation. And that, I think, can help us in thinking about these practices as spiritual practices, whether it's recognizing, as Angela named, the way that matter is brought forth in a new way, matter that has always existed, or in what you just named of channeling an energy, the ways that things just sort of come to us in a creative moment.
And in some ways, there's an underlying communication between both the artist and the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, communication between the creator, the viewer, or the reader, communication among dancers, creating something together. It's a conversation, which feels really fitting, I think, on Trinity Sunday to think about that, the conversation that's always happening. Also, for those of you who haven't been to service yet, our first reading today is the creation narrative in Genesis. It's a nice long reading, so buckle up. But a way that we can be reminded of creation and the way that we live into it and how that's part of our spiritual practice. And the renewal of creation is a resurrection. Yeah, Joe.
Yeah, just if everyone's here for 11:15, that the very long first reading is followed by one of the shortest ever second reading.
Indeed.
And a short gospel.
Yes. So it balances out.
It does balance out. I'm a younger brother. My big brother is the artist, art historian, all that sort of thing. And him talking about the cycles, and one of the cycles is about art itself, that it's like you used to have stories that we would tell, and then they invented writing, which destroyed everyone's memory for remembering stories and telling stories, and then the printing press, which destroyed calligraphy, and then there was, you know, people were making music in their homes, and then they invented radio, and that got rid of everyone's pianos in their houses, and then there was TV, and then there were movies, and the movies are this amazing technology, and now I want to make an image of Christ and the cross with flower, and it's like, boom, AI can kick that out in about 23 seconds. And he talked, my brother talked to me about how every time there's this leap in technology such as photography and artificial lighting, which made, like, you can make the most perfect image, that painting changed. They quit doing realism and pictures that, as my dad would say, that looks like what it looks like. That's what it looks like. Even though there are all these layers and messages and techniques that are in there, that art had to, it had to change to mean anything, because the creative spirit, and it'll be interesting to see in this current era where we just have this technology, which, as it always does, blows our minds, what is the artistic, what is the manifestation of the artistic spirit in this context when, as I said, you can create anything with a prompt. And how do we transcend that?
Yeah. Yeah. These are good musings.
Well, no, I read it was a letter to the editor in the New York Times about, and I'm not sure what prompted the letter, I think that's where it was, saying that religion, as life becomes more synthetic, and you use the word manufactured, that, you know, our very gathering together, you know, in person, and people online,
yeah.
But that gathering together is something of a resurrection in the face of the way you can pop up a crowd of people online in half a minute. So we're yeah. here today.
Yeah, yeah. And there are ways that we can recognize the benefits of new technology while also recognizing where it is taking something from us. I'm pretty resistant to AI, personally. There's no way to fully get out of it. But there are things that I could put an AI prompt in and very easily accomplish in little to no time, but I would rather create it myself. So one example is I make a liturgical planner that I sell on Etsy. And I could absolutely tell whatever AI bot to input the dates for the year, and it would spit it out in no time at all, and I could sell it, and that would be great, and that would be easy. But for me, part of the process is creating it and going through and looking at the liturgical calendar and mapping it onto this planner and typing in all of the dates myself, which of course allows for error because I'm only human. It takes a lot more time. But then I feel like I've created something that I'm offering to the world rather than just distributing something that technology has given me. So sometimes the slow way just has a different meaning for us, and it allows us a chance to create in a different way. Yeah. Well, thanks, friends, for being in conversation about this. I appreciate all the thoughts that you've offered, and I hope even if you are a person who is hesitant to create, that you might expand what creative practice looks like and dabble in something and see how the spirit is channeled through you in it. Thanks, y'all.